Appreciate the opportunity to see your faces once more. Brother Kenneth had some of the same thoughts. Brother Kevin had some of the same thoughts. I ask that you would pray while I stand before you for just a little while, that God would be glorified and that we would be edified.
Amen.
That the word preached would have its desired effect. I've got a question. Have you ever been dismissed? Have you ever been ridiculed? Have you ever been abandoned? Have you ever been brushed aside or cast away? What I really want to talk to you this morning about is your worth. And I want to tell you a story. There was a young boy who got ridiculed at school. Teachers didn't like him a whole lot. Everybody else made fun of him. They didn't regard him as being worthy of their time or effort. And he went home. And he asked his dad, "What's my worth?" And his dad said, "I got a job for you. I want you to go outside and I want you to take this rock and I want you to go to the market. And when someone asks you how much that you want for the rock, you hold up two fingers." So, the boy took the rock to the market. And a lady asked him, "How much do you want for that rock?" The boy held up two fingers. She said, "$2? I'll take it. It'll look great in my garden." Then the boy ran home and he said, "Dad, the lady was willing to give me $2 for this rock." He said, "You're not done. I want you to tomorrow take this rock to the museum. And I want you to show it to them. And when they ask you how much that you want for it, you hold up two fingers. And don't say anything." So the boy did it. And he went to the museum. And they asked him, "How much would you want to sell that rock for?" And the boy held up two fingers. And they said, "$200? We'll take it." And the boy was excited. And he ran home. And he said, "Dad, they're willing to give me $200 for this rock. We're going to be rich." He said, "You're not done. Tomorrow I want you to take this same rock to the jeweler." So, and when they ask you how much it is, you hold up two fingers. And so the boy did that. The jeweler said, "How much do you want for your rock?" And he held up two fingers. And the jeweler said, "$2,000? That's a steal. I'll take it." The boy ran home. He said, "Dad, they want to give me $2,000 for this rock." He said, "Son, what you're worth depends upon who you ask and where you go." Now I want to ask you, what are you worth? What are you worth? I bet if you ask one of your enemies, they might say that you're not worth the skin that you're in. I know some of mine would say that. If you ask your acquaintances, they may say, "I'm okay, but I can take him or leave him. Not worth a whole lot. If he wants to be my friend, that's fine." But if you ask your friend, they're going to say, "You know, I love him, but when it really comes down to it, they're going to betray you." If you want to, I mean, you're worth more to your friends than you are your enemies. Don't get me wrong. But even your friends aren't going to love you as much as your mama and daddy do. If I, you know, I love y'all, but I don't think as much of y'all as I do my own children. I don't know that there's any greater love on this earth than the love that a parent has for a child. But I do know of a greater love. Yes. Now, I'm worth a lot to my mom. My children are worth a lot to me. But I want you to think, what is your real worth? Who do you really need to base your worth on?
Amen. Yeah.
It depends on who you ask, remember? There's greater than your mama.
Amen.
There's greater than your daddy. I want you to really think about what you're worth to God.
Amen.
How much are you worth to God? Well, let's just see. First of all, I want to go and read some of the same scriptures that Brother Kenneth read today in Ephesians chapter 1. Let's just start to see how much we're worth to God. Blessed be, verse 3, 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. That's first thing. He blessed us.
Yeah.
How did He bless us? With all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And these blessings are according to something.
Yes.
According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. That's pretty good, isn't it?
That's right.
He chose us that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now that should doesn't mean we might or might not. That means that we shall be. Based on what He did. Now, He keeps going. So, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Now, what we've got under consideration here is a choice of some people that were not His blood kin, I guess. I don't know how to explain it all, but I'm not a begotten son, but I am a son.
Right.
There's only one begotten son, and I'm not him. But I am a son, Brother Kenneth.
Amen.
And that is, that I get the feeling almost that I wasn't born into that family, but I had to be adopted into it.
Yeah.
And that, you know, thinking about this in a natural way, that we think that the most benevolent people on the face of the earth are those that take children into their own homes and they give them a name and they care for them and they love them and they care that they provide for them. We think that they're the most benevolent of human beings, don't we?
Right.
But boy, we want most people wouldn't ascribe that same benevolence to God.
Amen.
Right.
And yet He did that.
Amen.
He did that. According as He hath chosen us in Him. And I tell you what, I think about some of those orphan children that grow up. They have a mother and father, but maybe they died. And they live in this orphanage with all these other orphans. And then they see this one coming and takes them out of that. And sets their love upon them. I tell you what, when they, I can just imagine what they are thinking about when they see someone new coming up. Maybe that'll be my mama and daddy. Maybe that'll be my mama and daddy. I don't know. I wasn't an orphan. But I tell you, He says, that's pretty good, isn't it? Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. He always knew what He was going to adopt us.
That's right.
He always knew. He predestinated it to be so. By Jesus Christ to Himself. And this blessing is according to the good pleasure of His will. You see, it's His initiative.
Amen.
It's His choice. And then He says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Men may cast you out. Your friends may say that there's nothing good about you. But I'm telling you, your worth to God is that He accepted you in Jesus Christ. He made you accepted in the Beloved.
Amen.
And I tell you, that's a good position to be in. I love that, don't you? I'm glad it's not based on what Brother Paul could do, because Brother Paul can't do very much. I can't make you love me, but I can tell you what, God made His love to be shed and set upon me just like He did on you. And He made you accepted in the Beloved just like He did me. And just like He did all of those children that He predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son and to the adoption of children. I tell you, He keeps going. He says, now that's not it. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. My friends, we as orphan children didn't abound to Him. He abounded to us. And friends, what a gulf it was that He spanned to get to you. I'm telling you, what a blessing that is. I kind of get the sense that God loves me. What do you think? I kind of get the sense that there's something about this man, about this God that that he loves me. And I tell you what, that is a blessed assurance to my soul. And then he comes on and he says, not only that, but having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. I kind of get the idea that God had a mind to love me. I kind of get the idea that all this was according to his will. And I kind of get the idea that this was on purpose.
Right.
And it wasn't your purpose. It wasn't mine. It was his purpose.
Amen.
And his will. And it was a good purpose and a good will. I kind of get a little bit more idea of really about how that God loved me. And I want to learn more about him. And he says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, Brother Kenneth. He says, in whom, listen, he's not done with how gracious and blessed and merciful he is to you, his adopted children. He says, in whom, we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, there it is again, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So not only did he make known unto us a mystery, but he let us know that we got an inheritance. You know how you get an inheritance? You work for it, right? Just like that one rich young ruler did. What must I do to inherit eternal life? I'm telling you what, friends, there's not an inheritance in the world that ever was that you did anything to inherit it. My friends, you inherit something by being born into the family. That's how you get that kind of inheritance. Yeah, we got it by being adopted and born again into his family. Now, I tell you what, it becomes a family issue at that point, doesn't it? And he says that we should obtain an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. And listen to this, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. I tell you what, that's something else that you got. I kind of keep on. It's unbelievable. Not really, but it's extraordinary how much God loves you and everything that he's given you because you're his adopted child. And he says that he not only did that, but he gave you the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the comforter to comfort your soul in times of trouble. And I tell you this, that's something that you got after you believed and after you heard the gospel of your salvation,
right,
this promise. Now he says, and this, that thing, after you heard the gospel of your salvation and after you believed, you got this Holy Spirit of promise, and that is the earnest of your inheritance. My friends, if you were born of the Spirit of God and you never did hear the gospel, you never did believe it, you'd have the inheritance, friends, but you wouldn't have the earnest of it right now. And I'm telling you what, brethren, when you are that rock and you're not in the garden, but you're in the Master's house, and you understand where you're in your right place, I'm friends, you're worth something.
Amen.
You're worth a whole lot more than the world thinks you're worth.
Amen.
And I tell you, he keeps going, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession. Now I tell you what, that's something else that you are. You're a purchased possession. And do you know how much it costs for you? They just paid that $2,000 for that rock at the jeweler's. I want you to understand that grace is free.
That's right.
For you. But it was not free.
Amen.
To Christ.
Amen.
It was not free to God. He freely gave it. But it wasn't freely acquired. You're a purchased possession because he bought you.
Yeah.
He paid that price. And do you know, he was the only one that had the currency to pay that debt. That currency that God demanded on your behalf was precious blood. That's what bought you. Was precious blood. That's the only currency that could be paid to settle that debt that we owed to God. And then he says, wherefore, now listen to this. This is Paul. This is us preachers. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Here it goes, and I want you to listen to all these ands in here. If you're still questioning whether God loved you or not. Now, if it's not good news to you, you have neither part nor lot in the matter.
Right. Yeah.
That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling. What the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. I want you to understand that not one will be lost, because that debt that He paid was sufficient to purchase every one of His children. And He's a good businessman, and He'll not leave one of them out.
Amen.
He's taking them all home.
That
filleth all in all. And he starts chapter 2 out with and. And you hath He quickened. When did He do that? Did He quicken you when you were in a good position? Did He quicken you when you were good enough? Did He quicken you when you made a decision to follow Him? No, my friends. He quickened you when you were dead in trespasses and in sins. I tell you, that's the state that He quickened you in. You didn't get good enough. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Listen to this. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But I want you to understand, that's when you were stuck in the garden somewhere. But God had something better for you. And He says, and I want you to really think about how much you're worth to God.
Yeah.
I want you to think about it. But listen to what Paul says. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I want you to understand that God didn't create you a new creature for you to be stuck in a garden somewhere. I want you to understand your worth to God. I want you to understand and quit asking the world what they think about you and start figuring out what God thinks about you.
Yeah,
and I want you to not just consider your self-worth to just be $2 and stuck in a garden somewhere, i.e. the world. I want you to act consistent with your new nature. I don't want you to be stuck in a museum somewhere just so folks can look at how pretty you are. I don't even want you to go to the jeweler and stay there. I want you to start asking God what you're worth.
Amen.
And I want you to act consistent with your new nature. Because God put an identity on you.
Amen.
When He called you by His grace, He imparted His DNA on you.
Right.
He borned you of the Spirit. And I never heard that word before, Brother Fractum. And it's the exact same thing. You know, my sister's here. She knows. I look like my daddy. She kind of does too. Tall. Got a big nose. Big ears, a widow's peak, a big feet, I got a big voice. I bear His characteristics. I even have some mannerisms, I'm told, like Him. I got that naturally. I look like my daddy. You know, when God made us a new creature, He born us again. When He took out that heart of flesh, put in a heart of stone, He gave us new characteristics.
Yes, thank you.
He gave us a new nature. He gave us new DNA. And we're now equipped to look like Him, to act like Him, and to please Him by exhibiting those characteristics and living consistent with our new nature.
That's right.
And we can do it.
Amen.
We're commanded to do it.
Right.
When you act consistent with your new nature, then, and follow the principles of the kingdom.
That's right.
That's acting consistent with His nature.
Amen.
Then, and only then, will we really understand as much as we can in this life our worth to God. And also our worth to ourselves. You know, I think one of the things that plagues so many people is that they don't think they're worth anything.
Mm.
But if they could just see how much they're worth to God.
Yes, amen.
It'd allow you to put a smile on your face and a song in your heart.
Amen.
And spring in your step, and praise in your lips, and grace in your mind, and mercy in your life. God, help us to see. God, help us to see that He's high and lifted up, and He's worthy to be praised. May God bless you to know your worth in God's eyes.
Thank you.